Watching a video the other day, and I saw where there was this Muslim apologist, and he was challenging people to show him exactly where Jesus said that he was God or where he demanded personal worship. If you can't show me where Jesus says himself, where it's clearly printed, even sarcastically said, you know where the red printing is, that Jesus says that I am God, or where he is demanding that, demanding worship, then he's not God, and he never claimed to be God. This is a stupid and invalid argument, because the Bible, which is inspired by God, claims this truth in many places. A matter of fact, the Bible is loaded with teachings that Jesus is God and the worship of, and that they worshiped him as God in the Gospels. And I was talking to Fred about this the other day, and he said, well, you know, one of the arguments that I heard was when they ask you to show me where it says that Jesus says, or when Jesus himself says that I am God, just ask them the question, where does Jesus say that I am not God? And I was like, that's a great argument. It's the argument that we use when people say, prove to me that God exists. And then you say to them, prove to me that he doesn't. Right? And but what a silly argument. But as I said, the Bible is loaded with teachings that claim that Jesus is God. And this morning we're going to look at a couple of verses that prove just that. And not only that, but Jesus is making the claim himself without coming straight out and saying that I am God. Look, if you will, at John chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to himself, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I know over the past few weeks, as we've been going through the Gospel of John, I have reminded you of the purpose of the apostle as he's been writing, or he did write this gospel. It is to show that Jesus is God and the importance of believing. It's really those two things. In the weeks to come, we are going to see exactly that as we go through the fifth chapter. I've also reminded you of the five fundamentals of the faith, that the Bible is inspired, infallible, inerrant, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the literal death and resurrection of Christ, the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. And these are foundational to our faith, and we must continuously stand firm in these truths. This morning I would also like to remind you that the verses before us this morning is a continuation of a conversation that Jesus was having with the leadership of Israel, the leadership of the Jews, concerning the healing on the Sabbath. Again, as I've said many times, we go through verse by verse by verse through a book, and we could spend a month, 2 months in one chapter, but forget really what got us there, what that broader context is. Although it does go back to the healing of Jesus, or that Jesus healed this man of an ailment that was for years at the pool of Bethesda, however you want to say it. Again, there's three different ways you could say that, but he heals this man. The man picks up his bed, he walks. Jewish leaders saying, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath, on Saturday? He says, well, the man who healed me told me to do this. Who healed you? I don't know. Jesus sees him again, reveals to the man that it is I, Jesus, who has healed you. He runs back and tells the people. We pick up in verses 17 and 18, but Jesus answered them as they were criticizing him for doing this on the Sabbath. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is the main point that really gets the conversation of Jesus with the leadership of Israel going. This is what they were upset with. Not only were they upset that he did something on the Sabbath which wasn't lawful, but also that he made himself equal to God, saying that he was his Father. I remind you of this so that you will keep these two verses in the message to come that Jesus is claiming deity without coming straight out and saying that I am God. Look again, if you will, at verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. The word for, as you know, is a connective, a continuation of what Jesus just said in the previous verse. If you look at verse 21, it says this, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to whom, to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. But we see that in the beginning of verse 21, the word for again, which brings us back to the previous verse, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. But again, we see the word for in the beginning of the verse, which brings us back to the previous verse, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. What we see at the end of verse 19 is Jesus says that the Son also does in like manner, which makes him equal with God the Father. Verse 21 does the same. So the Son gives life to whom he wills. Again, it's a section of context that really says to the Jewish people who said that he was making himself equal with God by calling him his Father, he says and expounds upon that and says, oh no, there's much more to it than that. As the Father gives life, so do I. Look again at verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. I said last week the Jews believed, rightfully so, that only God could raise the dead. But Jesus said he gives life to whom he will. They also believe that it is only God who is their judge. Abraham speaking to God concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18:25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Jewish people, all the way back to Abraham, or Abraham's time, believed that God was the judge of the earth. Job, which was also in the time of Abraham, says this in chapter 8, verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers. Nor will he uphold the evildoers. Go a little further from Job, and we see in Psalm 58, 11, so that man will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges the earth. And Psalm 94, 2. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Yet Jesus said that the Father isn't going to judge anyone, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Can you imagine at this point the looks on the leaders of the Jewish people's face? They were upset that he broke the Sabbath, which he didn't break the Sabbath, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. But he broke the Sabbath and then said, "My Father," which then they were upset. And now he says, "Oh, and by the way, you know, that God that you're, the God, the Father, the one that you call Father, that God, my Father, has given me the judgment. He's not going to judge anyone." They must have been outraged. I would imagine it would be like those who stoned Stephen when he said and gazed up into heaven and said, "I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the Almighty." And they plug their ears, running toward him to stone him. He just says, "Hey, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Jesus is saying, "Hey, I am God." Blasphemy. Jesus repeats his authority elsewhere as well, like Matthew 28, verse 18, John 3, 35, John 5, 27, and John 17, 2. The epistles also make this claim. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 17, verse 3. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. It's loaded throughout the scriptures. It's loaded throughout the scriptures that Jesus is God. Jesus doesn't stop with the authority granted him in judgment. Look, if you will, at verse 23. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Did you notice that the word honor is mentioned four times in this one verse alone? And again, when you see a word repeated, it's intended to for us to pay special attention. "Because I have been given the authority to judge, which means that I am God, you should honor me as you would honor the Father." You should honor me as you honor the Father. Again, if the Jews were outraged to the point that they tried to kill Jesus for saying that he and the Father have been working until now, how mad do you think that they would have been at this point? Four times Jesus repeated this truth concerning his equality with the Father by saying that they should honor him as they honor the Father. And if they don't honor him as they honor the Father, then they are not honoring the Father either. Something else to notice is Jesus says the same thing twice. Once as a positive, and the second time around in the next sentence as a negative. If you do honor the Son, you honor the Father. But if you don't honor the Son, you are not honoring the Father either. He says the same thing twice, once in a positive, once in a negative. The word honor means to show high regard for, to revere. I was looking this word up in another text, in another, I think it's the USB commentary, United Bible Society. Really good Bible commentary. And they said that it could even be, to honor could also be in the same regards as to worship, to fall down, to prostrate oneself toward. So Jesus is saying to honor him is to honor in the same manner in which you would honor the Father. And again, this isn't the only place we see this concerning Jesus' equality with the Father. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Verse 16. Remember the times that he has said so many times, me and the Father, or the Father and I are one. And again, it's not only one in agreement, like it talks about unity with the church, being one and one in agreement concerning the doctrines and concerning our approach and our efforts with the church to make disciples of all the nations and how to organize the church and different things, that we are to be one in agreement. But here what Jesus is also saying when he says that I and the Father are one is that they are one in essence as well. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. John chapter 15, 23, if you will. All for a short, very short verse. Jesus says, he who hates me hates the Father also. 1 John chapter 2. John writes in chapter 2, verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Not only does Jesus make the claims that he is God in the flesh and that he and the Father are equal, but the apostles, and it's really interesting because John always emphasizes these truths, the truths of the deity of Christ, as well as the importance of believing in all of his epistles and love. In the same book, chapter 4, verse 15, he writes, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God's abide in him and he in God. And then the second epistle of John, verse 9, says this, no chapter, unless you want to put chapter 1, but there's no chapter. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrines of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Equality with God. Just as a P.S., a footnote, verses 11 or 10 and 11 after verse 9 of 2 John. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. The P.S. is, don't even associate with people who deny the deity of Christ. Do not even associate with people who reject the doctrines of Jesus Christ. That's how serious it is. Do not even accept them. Do not receive them into your house. And what do you do with that when you got family members that do not receive the teachings of Jesus Christ, primarily being those who deny the deity of Christ? It amazes me when people try so hard to say that Jesus wasn't or isn't God in the flesh, for it is declared everywhere. And seeing that it is everywhere, you should understand the significance of being able to defend it. Be ready always to give an answer of the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. We should always see and appreciate those who have gone before us defending the deity of Jesus Christ. To this day, I think I've mentioned it in Sunday school or somewhere else, of course, because I forget where I read or say anything anymore. But someone was saying, why has dispensationalism come out as such a late teaching? I think it was John MacArthur that said the reason why dispensationalism came out as one of the later teachings and really just saw for the first time was because from the time of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they have been defending the deity of Jesus forever in other doctrines as well. Really, have an appreciation for those who have stood in the gap, fighting so diligently for the deity of Christ. For it is crucial. Because without the understanding and believing that Jesus is God, there is no salvation. So we should take these doctrines, or this doctrine, stand strong with confidence, being ready always to give an answer of the reason of the hope that Jesus is God in the flesh, and salvation could only be paid through a perfect lamb. And as John said in the beginning of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, I'd like to wrap up by going through verses 17 through 23, pointing out the obvious, followed by a simple statement. Starting with 17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Verse 17, obvious statement, where even the Jews were mad that he made himself equal to God, calling him his Father. Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because not only did he break the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God." You know, it's interesting. Those who are closest to the time of Jesus, people sit there and say, "Jesus never claimed to be God," but yet the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him because they believed he was making himself equal with God. Verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner.'" And the key word is like manner, the ability to raise the dead, to give life to whom he will, to create, to change the elements of his creation, to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, in like manner. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." Again, we see the Father-Son statement. Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Both the Father and Son give life to whom they will. Not that they work independently of each other, but that they have the same will and same power to do so. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Only God is the judge of the earth. And therefore, Jesus is God." Verse 23, "That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father." Equal in honor. Don't ever let anyone trap you in a corner with a silly argument like, if you cannot find a place in Scripture that clearly says that Jesus, that only Jesus, I'll only believe that Jesus is God if Jesus says he's God. Don't ever let anyone trap you with such a silly argument. Jesus never claimed to be God by using the word, "I am God." He never is declared to be God because he demanded worship. What a silly argument. They trap you. It's kind of like when you see those debates, or especially when you see Congress and Senate, and they say, "Answer this question with only a yes or a no." No. No, because you cannot do that. Because there are questions that are designed for you to fail. Jesus never denied being equal with God, but continuously affirmed to the Jewish leaders. He continuously affirmed the Jewish leader's statement in verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he did not only because he broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself to be equal with God." Every single verse after the Jewish leaders claimed that Jesus was making himself equal with God, he does not refute this, but affirms this in every single verse. Jesus did not say, yes, I am God in the flesh. Jesus did not say, fall down and worship me. But what he never does, and what you will see that he never does, is he never rebukes them. They worship Jesus, he never rebuked them. John worshiped an angel for revealing to him, and we saw that just a couple weeks ago, and the angel says, do not do that, for I am a fellow servant. Jesus received worship, never rebuked. Jesus never rebuked anyone when they said, my Lord and my God, ever. Let us stand strong concerning the doctrine of Jesus' deity. And more importantly, let us worship and glorify him as being God in the flesh, who was the only one that was able to come down and pay for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray.